Welcome back to the Carnivore Yogi Podcast. Today's episode is a bonus episode. It is with my friend Meredith, who runs the Quantum Biology Collective. And I wanted to share this with my friends over on the podcast because we are doing a replay of the Quantum Biology Summit that was done over the summer. It's going to take place next weekend. So if you're listening to this when it comes out, that summit is going to take place, I believe, the weekend of October 28th through the 30th. So make sure that you check out the link down in the show notes so you can get that replay for free. A lot of the guests that have been on the podcast, Dr. Jay Montgomery, Dr. Michael Twyman, Dr. Leland Stillman, and Carrie Bennett, Corey Gasvini, all of those people all presented at the summit, as well as myself. I was actually telling the story of how I came to quantum health and my journey, which is pretty personal. It was the first time that I actually opened up and shared about it in public. So I hope that you enjoy it. Now, in this Instagram Live, obviously it was done over video. Oh, you can probably hear the baby talking a little bit here. So there are some shots of the baby. So if you want to see those, obviously you're not going to be able to see that on the podcast version. You're going to have to go to YouTube to watch those. But I did want to make this chat available to you guys on the podcast because I like to do that with Instagram Lives. And again, to let you know about the summit, the link for that is down in the show notes if you want to catch that replay for free. All right, everybody, I hope that you enjoy this chat with my friend Meredith over at the Quantum Biology Collective, and I will talk with you again very soon.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Meredith from the Quantum Biology Collective. The Quantum Biology Collective is a collaborative network of practitioners who all, who all use quantum protocols and the science of mitochondria and light in their practices. And today we are talking to Carnivore Yogi. Miner. Hi, Jim. Good to see you. Hi.
Good. How are you?
How are you?
In a little.
Okay, oh my God!
He's sleeping for now. It's been kind of a little bit of a fussy day today, but we've just, yeah. The quantum baby.
I'm gonna just gush for a few minutes and everyone's gonna have to deal. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna cry.
Thank
you.
He's
Sarah.
2 weeks today.
Yeah. Wow.
A little sweet.
I'm just having a moment. What a wonderful welcome to the world, sweetheart. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here.
Good. It's you know, newborn in your 40s. You know, it really hasn't been that bad. We've still been able to get out for sunrise and sit out on the porch and get morning light. And I feel like that's really helped a ton with a little, you know, he's sleeping for 4 hour stretches at night. And so that's good. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, you definitely are feeding him some high quality milk there, mama. So he's getting all the things.
Yeah.
So he's got some good sleep stretches going. So you do as well. And fascinating. I've gone overseas twice in the last 6 months, and it was the first time I traveled since getting really serious about quantum protocols. Yeah. And I was really worried about the jet lag because I was like, I'm so sensitive now. It's going to get thrown off. And I actually found, because I'm so light sensitive, the jet lag was much better than it had been in the past, because as soon as I went outside, my body was able to adapt and it was not nearly as painful a process as it has been. So hopefully that is true.
Yeah,
also,
you know, and I'm really kind of conscientious when I do wake up. I have this little amber clip-on light that I got from Amazon, but it's, you know, it's really, really low light. And I wear my blue blockers. I just keep them beside mm-hmm. the bed. And when he wakes up and it's time to change and feed, then I put on the red blue blockers and just put on that little clip-on amber light, because I think it's, you know, it's pretty benign as far as like light goes. It's not like turning on a bunch of overhead lights, and mm-hmm. just feed and change. And he usually just goes right back to sleep. I go right back to sleep, and I feel like, you know, it's not as bad as if I didn't have the blue blockers and had all the lights on. So, yeah, it's a little bit of an adjustment not getting as much sleep as I was, but it's not horrible. And I'm doing things like, you know, drinking structured water, getting tons of minerals, and, you know, just being outside as much as we can, going out in the yard barefoot, and I walk around with him, and it's been lovely. I've just really been enjoying newborn phase like a million times more than I did almost 15 years ago. It's a totally different experience.
Wow. And what, like, a beautiful life opportunity to be able to
step back into it. It's wonderful. My husband and I are just like, it's so cool. We get a kind of a second chance to do all the things kind of over that we want to do over. And so it's been really nice to get to do that. And he's just wonderful. I mean, he's already back over his birth weight by like 7 ounces, and he's 2 weeks old and growing really well. He's in like the 98th percentile for height and weight. Like, he's a great baby. He really is.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Can we have another peek? It was... Sorry, I love babies so much. Look at it.
Hey,
look at this little miracle. Hi, sweetheart. Hi. So, Sarah, thanks for bringing him. Thanks for showing him. And, like, what wonderful advice. I remember talking to my friends, like, when we were all new moms, and they were like, the iPhone had just come out, and they were like, oh, it's so great. I can just, like, watch movies while I breastfeed in the middle of the night. And I remember, I didn't know anything about this at the time, but I remember being like, I'm going to do that. But yeah, what those are like really helpful tips if anyone on here.
Yeah, I still do the same phone hygiene that I did before he was here. You know, at you know, 8 o'clock, I try to turn off the phone, put in a Faraday bag, and I don't pick it up again until the next morning, until 8 or 9 o'clock the next, you know, I still keep those rules, even though I might be awake in those hours. Yeah. I think the worst thing I could possibly be doing in the middle of the night when we do wake up is looking at that phone. Like I said, little amber clip-on light next to the bed and blue blockers. And, you know, we both just go right back to sleep, do what we need to do. But if you're watching your videos on your phone or going on Amazon or going on social media, not only are you messing up your brain, but you're also telling, you know, your brain that it's new solar noon, you know, in June. So it's a very confusing signal for your body to be getting. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know,
exactly.
The baby's probably getting some of that light as well. So yeah, for anyone who has a child who's having trouble sleeping, like, absolutely. The light environment, when they do wake up in the night, keep it dark or like you said, like a red.
Yeah, Jemba Red actually has, I have a bunch of their night lights just scattered around the house, and those are actually great. Their red night lights are really good. I have them on the stairway, in the bathroom upstairs, just in different areas of the house, so that if you do need to get up and walk around, it's just a red night light. So those are really good. I suggest those.
Cool. And for people who are new or who are just joining, do you want to explain a little bit about why we would use red lights?
It's going to be the least disruptive to your circadian rhythms. You know, everything that we try to do, everything that I've learned that's improved my health has been centered around supporting my circadian rhythms. You know, diet's important. All those things are important. They're great, like, pillars. But if your circadian rhythms are off, you're going to be spiking your cortisol, spiking your blood sugar, and really messing things up for yourself. And so red is going to be the least disruptive for those circadian rhythms. If you do need to get up in the night, it's the closest to like the ambience of sunrise or sunset. You know, if you've got like a big, I mean, even like these kids' nightlights, these, they have like horrible blue lights and they're super bright. It's like, don't, that's not a good nightlight for your child. If you need one, have a red one. You know, that's what we've used even before he was born, for my daughter, my husband, any of us, if we need to go up to the bathroom in the night and have a little light, it's in there. So we have to just kind of look at life, even in the daytime, just the 24-hour clock, as what's circadian appropriate for this time of day right now so that I can best support my health.
Right. And so turning on a regular light bulb, definitely a screen, but even really any kind of commercial light bulb at night is going to
absolutely
be disrupting those rhythms.
Again, like I said, with the phone, when you're looking at your phone, you know, we have this suprachiasmatic nucleus in the eye that's connected to the hypothalamus, which is like, tells your body, this is what time of day it is. This is how our body knows what time it is. And I think a lot of people don't realize we secrete specific hormones at specific times of day in response to the light that comes into our eyes. So if we're waking up in the night and turning on a bright overhead light, again, we're probably telling our body it's, you know, noon in June and it's really midnight. And so our body starts pumping out cortisol and it just messes up that beautiful hormonal rhythm that we're supposed to have naturally when we are in sync with sunrise, sunset, when we're in sync with light cycles as they're supposed to be.
Yes. And Sarah, I'm sure you've probably, you know, looked into this as you have an older daughter and now you have a little special, precious nugget there. This is like incredibly
yes.
important for children.
Yes, absolutely.
And from a sleep perspective, from a behavior perspective, what would you say to parents who are kind of like, what's going on?
The book by John Ott, I think, is a really great place to look at, because there's actually experiments done with children in there that show behavior in response to different wavelengths of light. And one of the things I noticed with my daughter, who is very sensitive to light, just very sensitive to non-native EMF, all of the things, is that when I control the light environment and I don't let her have iPad, I don't let, you know, every now and then she can have a little bit, it's on airplane mode and the screen is red. But, you know, it's a normal thing. We don't do that. We don't watch TV after certain hours of the day, things like that, because it does affect her sleep. It does affect her behavior. And kids are much more sensitive because their brains are still developing. Their brains are not fully developed until they're like 25. And so they really need the structure of us to help them with the light. I think a lot of kids have sleeping issues now, a lot of teenagers especially, because they're playing video games, they're on iPads, they're on their phones, and they're not using blue blockers or any sort of eye protection. And I think light is just one of those things people kind of brush under the rug because it's not shiny. And, you know, I'd rather focus on the perfect diet for my kids, which, don't get me wrong, that is phenomenal and wonderful. But we got to do other things just besides diet for an overall picture of health and definitely for sleep. Sleep is when our body does the most repair work. And it's vital for these kids that are growing. So we really, you know, I can see a huge difference with my daughter if I'm not controlling the light environment. If she, you know, gets a hold of somebody's phone, and which she does every now and then, she'll steal my husband's phone and play YouTube. I'm like, no, ma'am. I can see her get hyperactive and have behaviors when she's as simple as like iPad or telephone with YouTube. So we really do watch the lights here. My husband is used to it at this point. He thought I was a little bit nuts at first, but he sleeps better too. And he notices he doesn't have as much anxiety as he did before. He's like, oh, you're on to something with this light thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And anxiety is a great, I think. I mean, the two things that I hear most often when I talk to people are fatigue and anxiety. Sometimes together, but either one or the other. And so fatigue, obviously, if our sleep is not high quality, that, you know, their circadian dysregulation is going to contribute to the fatigue. But let's talk about the anxiety. Because I think, you know, right now, if anyone who has a phone is going to be sort of exposed to the news, whether they want to or not. I find like my phone is finding ways to put it in front of me. Hi, sweetie. And there's just so much going on in the world. And I find also when people are triggered by anxiety, like anything, you know, it can be nonspecific. It's just something that hangs in the air. What's going on with our hormones and what's going on inside of our bodies that are the light cycles are can have such an effect.
Yeah. I mean, there's a real issue with dopamine. I think that people are burning through the dopamine to the point where it's not functioning properly. And then they have the anxiety and the depression. They're not getting morning light. So they're not able to really create those natural stores of melatonin at night. And again, it's just a recipe for disaster, but there are actual scientific studies that show looking at your phone and that amount of blue light does really affect your dopamine levels. And I feel like that's, you know, I've read Dopamine Nation by, gosh, what are her first name is Anne, but she is a wonderful book. And it just talks about the state of our nation and low dopamine levels and how people are truly affected by this. And it's the cell phone addiction. The thing she doesn't touch on in the book is, it's the dopamine from like the news and the getting the likes and all the things that we get out of social media, but they don't really talk about the light portion, which is huge. It's like if you, just the light portion alone, it is ruining your dopamine. And so, you know, if you are going to look at a phone, I always have my phone screen red, unless I'm making a post, then I do have to turn it off to actually make sure the colors don't look totally insane. but most of the time my phone screen is red. I do it to my families, their devices, or wearing blue blockers because it's just like I said, your phone is the same, intensity as solar noon in June, not even solar noon in like October, November, December, but you're telling your body that there's UVB available, that there, you know, like all these signals and, it's absolutely wrecking your dopamine levels. And so anybody that has anxiety and depression, the first thing I want to have them to do is to start, just get a pair of blue blockers, start using those appropriately, turn your phone screen red. You know, you don't even necessarily have to try consciously to limit your social media as much as I want you to, but it starts to happen a little bit more naturally when you don't have that blue light in your phone. I've had so many clients tell me, I turn my phone screen red and I just am not as interested in my phone anymore. It doesn't have the same appeal. And that was true for me when I first did it as well.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, because there is a response happening in your brain in response to the light on your phone, believe it or not. It's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There is an addictive quality to it. Yeah, and just so people know, you can go into the settings on the iPhone and play around with them and reduce, if you still want it to look normal, you can reduce the whiteness, and then you can also put it in to red mode. That is something that is possible to do. You don't need to do anything.
No, you don't need to buy a filter or anything to put on top of your phone. You can, and you can go on YouTube too. There's a ton of YouTube videos that will show you how to do this for Android, show you how to do it for iPhone, just any kind of phone that you have. Like YouTube is awesome for that. Just type it in there and it'll give you the instructions on how to do it.
Yes. I outsource that to my daughter. She knows more, but she understands. But now, it's great.
Yep.
So I click the button three times and hit
there you go.
And hit it and it goes red. So just a little practical tip for anyone who's watching who's new to this. Even just doing that, if while you're waiting for your blue blockers to come in the mail or whatever, will be very, very helpful, definitely. And so you were talking about how the light coming off of a screen is telling our brains that it's solar noon in the middle of the summer. And right now it is mid-October. I'm at a fairly high latitude. I'm up in New York State. You're in Atlanta, so you're in a slightly different place. Could you just talk for a couple minutes, Sarah, about what's happening with the light as the seasons change and sort of why we want to pay attention to that? And
yeah, it's so important to get in tune. I mean, I used to hate winter. I used to get really depressed in the winter time. Last winter was the first time because I was plugged in with the circadian certified, the quantum biology collective. I was in the middle of getting my certification and just immersed in learning with all of you guys. And it was so fantastic. It was the first winter that I just really enjoyed it and embraced it. I was outside, you know, it was chilly, but I embraced the cold. The light shifts, it changes in the winter time because it's the time for healing, the time for rest. It's the time, it's melatonin season. We're supposed to make more melatonin, sleep more, experience more darkness during the winter time. And a lot of people live their life as though it's a perpetual summer. You know, they turn what we talked about earlier in this live stream. If you missed it, go back and watch it when we're done. But they turn all those overhead lights on. They keep the heat on in the house. They never go outside. If they do, they've got coats on and they're getting right in the car and the car's already heated for them. So people are not really experiencing winter. They're kind of experiencing this eternal summer. And winter, again, is this wonderful time. We do have less light. It's the time where we're supposed to make more melatonin and our bodies are supposed to heal, you know? So if we don't embrace that, right, we're missing out on some really wonderful regeneration time. You know, we talk all the time about autophagy and apoptosis and all those things. But if you're not sleeping, if you're not experiencing darkness, you're not getting it. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. So it's just as important, if not more, to go outside and get natural light at sunrise, which is when the sun is between 0 and 10 degrees. Again, UVA time, 10 to 30 degrees, which we have a ton of UVA in winter. We still get UVB here, but it's not enough to really synthesize vitamin D because the UV index doesn't get above a 6. But a lot of places don't get that. And then it's sunset again to get that beautiful red light. So, you know, all those things are going to tell our body it's winter. This is the time of year. The days are shorter. Make more melatonin, sleep, repair. And it's just, again, it's important that we are exposing our bodies to those natural temperatures and lights that are available in winter.
Beautiful. Yeah, one of the big takeaways that for me is that I kind of thought as winter was like a season you sort of had to fight with. And what I realized is like nature takes care of us. Like nature was designed for us to feel good all of the time. We didn't evolve to feel crappy for four to 6 months a year. It's the way that we're showing up in winter.
Yeah.
That's causing the problem. So going out for walks and doing saunas and, just like spending time outside, even when it's cold with no hat on, just letting the sun hit our faces and our heads. Like I'm with you. Last winter was a completely different experience than I've had at a northern latitude winter ever before because understanding how to live in harmony with our surroundings.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
And someone said, what about people who live in a place where there are no seasons? I mean, it's be where you are, you know, adapt to the latitude that you're in. That's what this is about. If you're in a place where you can lay on the beach all winter, go for it. You know, lay on the beach all winter. That's great. But if you're in a place like Meredith and I, where there are seasons and things shift throughout the year, then our bodies need to be in tune with the rhythm that for the latitude that you're in with our food, you know, so seasonal local food, more of a, you know, low carb keto approach is more appropriate in the winter. Summertime, we have more sunlight, we have more ability to deplete deuterium naturally. And if you're metabolically healthy, then eating some of those seasonal foods when they're available is more appropriate. So I think that we kind of get so dogmatic about diet and those things that we forget the circadian aspect of our bodies. And when you start to view your health through the circadian lens, it's not as a dogmatic, you know, black and white experience. It's kind of like seeing things as a whole, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's really liberating and fun. I always found all of the health approaches to be a bit of a,
yeah,
it kind of felt like a punishment sometimes. But now it's,
yeah. And I don't like that. I don't want people to feel punished or restricted. I feel that the more you can educate yourself on what's appropriate seasonally, locally, the way that we were meant to live, the way that we evolved, and see through things through that lens rather than the lens of like this dogma or that dogma, it kind of clears out a lot of stuff. And I think people, when you educate them in that way, when I educate my clients or if you take one of my courses, that's ingrained through all of it so that it doesn't have to be this like all or nothing type of approach where you feel restricted and you feel like, oh, I'm going to go off the rails, or no, you just live as much as you can in accordance, yeah, with nature locally, seasonally, and it's not so complicated.
Yeah.
It is fun and gentle.
Fun.
I love it.
And yeah. Gentle.
Yeah,
thank Sarah, you for thanks for coming me. On today. And thanks for bringing
Hi from baby James.
Our precious
She's finally
sweetheart.
Sleeping.
Oh, James.
Yeah.
Sweetie. Hello.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you and your new parenting journey. I also wanted to mention last summer, Sarah was a speaker at a summit that we did live. And we had a lot of people ask, miss it. So we're putting it up again. It's streaming live October 28 to 30. And Sarah, you graciously shared your quantum,
yeah,
your quantum health journey.
This is my quantum health journey. This is the reason I got into circadian biology, why I sought you out. I mean, it's like, it's all like full circle now, you know, it's, it's crazy. Yeah. And you guys, I shared a lot of my fertility journey and how all that came about in the summit. It was the first time that I really spoke publicly about kind of all the, you know, painful, awful things I went through that led me to this quantum health journey that really just changed my life entirely. So yeah, that's in that. The summit. There's a link in my bio if you guys want to check it out, and I'll put it in my stories too. And I know you've got it on your page also, Meredith, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So go to Sarah's page. Click the link there, the summit. It's free for, you can, it's streaming for 3 days. And then if you want to upgrade there, you will get the recordings and also a year membership in the Quantum Biology Collective. And we do really fun, geeky stuff. So if you like researching this stuff, then definitely join us there. We do lots of talks with Sarah. So when she has classes or courses, you'll hear about them. And, you know, it's really fun. So come on in and join us there. And yeah, the summit is a great overview of all of the science. It's full on. So if you're just a casual health person, you know, just stay on Sarah's page and absorb. But if you're ready to go a bit deeper, then yeah, definitely join the summit and make sure to find Sarah's talk or you shared about your journeys.
Thank it's, you. It's really it was special. Wonderful. To, it's just wonderful to be a part of such a great community. Just so many wonderful people that I've connected with that are in this quantum health community, and it's beautiful. Everyone is supportive and kind and not dogmatic, and we want to share the word. We want to help people understand about how light can really, really affect your health and make some profound changes, and kind of let go of the woo-woo, you know, that we get that label of woo-woo, like actually put the real science behind it and explain it for people.
Yes. Thank you. That's a great, great description of what we're all doing here. It's just a collection of people from all different backgrounds. Who want to share, collaborate, talk about research, do book clubs, fun stuff.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sarah.
Good to see you too.
So good to see you. And I'm so delighted to meet James. Jason and I have been like looking at pictures and going, oh, so
yes,
one day
that's
maybe
the goal.
We'll meet him in real life.
That's the goal.
He was
yes.
able to join us today.
Right. We'll take care.
Okay. You too. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much
Bye.
For being here. Bye, Sarah.